Thanks for tuning into Schneps Connects. If you're listening from any podcast network, I would love it if you would subscribe to the podcast to stay updated on the latest episodes. Otherwise, you can always stream the podcast at podcast.schnepsmedia.com. Today, I'm joined by Lenny Achan. He runs a terrific nonprofit organization that is vital to saving the lives of so many people. And it's really critical to bring awareness to their cause, which is organ donation. Lenny is the president and CEO of Live On NY, the federally designated organ procurement organization serving New York City, Long Island, and parts of Westchester. During his tenure from 2021 to 2024, Live On NY achieved nearly a 70% increase in organ donation across the region. As a seasoned healthcare executive, Lenny has held senior leadership roles at Mount Sinai Health System and Hospital for Special Surgery, where he led the clinical operations, crisis management, digital transformation, and large-scale organizational turnarounds. Under his leadership, Live On NY now serves a population of more than 13 million people and is nationally recognized as the number one organization in placing medically complex kidneys, honoring Black organ donor heroes, and honoring donors over the age of 65. With 60% of its organ donors and transplant recipients identifying as Black, Hispanic, or Asian, Live On NY is redefining what equity, innovation, and life-saving impact look like in organ donation. So, Lenny, it's great to have you join and really appreciate you coming on and sharing your mission.
No, thank you, Josh. It's an honor to be here with your audience and appreciate the opportunity to always share our mission and the generosity of New Yorkers.
So I know you've held other leadership roles in healthcare, but would love to for you to just share like how you got involved in Live On NY and really the importance of organ donation.
Sure. So just briefly started my career as a nurse practitioner here in New York City, born and raised, and I left bedside, but went through, you know, dozen different leadership roles across various organizations and was in the hospital, and on the hospital side got a call. And that call was to look at this organization, Live On New York. And at first I said to that recruiter, hey, let me help you find a CEO. I'm very happy in my role leading commercialization out at Hospital for Special Surgery. Great organization that I've worked with here in New York. But the data that was shared to me on that call, which was supposed to be 20 minutes, turned into a 2 or 3 hour call. Mm. And the data showed that a lot of people around the nation were suffering, something I knew a long time ago, more so at bedside, but something that I believed that New York could do better at. We know that this is the most generous city in the world. We know that we just have to educate, engage, and let people know that a real crisis exists, and New Yorkers always step up. So the organization's performance prior to that was a low-performing organization in the United States, one of the lowest. And at that time, had about a year before potential closure by CMS. So the opportunity was to come in and look at taking a bet on our community being generous, which was an easy bet, and then building a strategy, which was really a strategy against myself and people like me who maybe just didn't know better or didn't know the truths around organ donation, whether in healthcare or not. And we did that. And the community stepped up in that first 3 years, as you said, and we saw that 70% increase.
So how urgent really is the issue, you know, particularly in the New York region?
Yeah, so this morning, for your listeners in New York that woke up, it's probably 8,000 to 9,000 people who are waiting for an organ to save their life, surrounded by friends and family and hoping and praying that that they'll see another sunrise and that somebody may step up to do that for them, even in their own loss and tragedy. Around the nation, that number is more like 100,000 people that will wake up tomorrow in that wait list, and about 80% of them are waiting for kidneys and are on dialysis.
Dialysis is such a difficult thing to go through as well.
Yeah, it's tough. And, you know, there's so many aspects to this, right? And I'm a broad healthcare and business person, but when you look at this, you know, even from an economic standpoint and disability and being able to provide for your family and being able to have a job, I mean, there's such significance when you think of the impact of a donor helping somebody get that second chance of life,
Sure.
but get off of the machinery, get off of the meds, get off of dialysis, and then be able to have a part of that dream that they should have to be able to provide for themselves and their family. There's a huge downstream impact to this.
So we got to talk about this turnaround that you were able
Sure.
to implement. I mean, obviously 70% is amazing, and you talked about, and I didn't even realize how close the organization was to folding. But you've been a great communicator, that's for sure. And there's definitely has to be, I assume, a stigma around organ donation. So what are some of the things that, from a leadership perspective, that you've been implementing to be able to help this cause and strengthen the organization?
Sure. So, when we got there and I brought other operators in from healthcare who were similar to me, who were ignorant about it, we took a position of reflection and not projection. Let's reflect on ourselves. Born and raised New Yorker, West Indian family descent, first generation American. Like, what is true of that for me in New York that I didn't know about organ donation? What's true of me being trained and educated as a nurse practitioner, and having 23 years of experience in New York City hospitals? And the answers to those questions were nobody taught us better. Nobody filled in the blank. There wasn't an investment in New York City Metro like there was all around other cities and states around the nation, which really started in the early 80s, not so late to the game. And as I asked more people about that and said, hey, you're in healthcare, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. Did you know this? The answer was no, within the New York system. So when I say invest, we didn't build a culture, not with malintent. We didn't build a culture because we just didn't. And New York's highly suspect. We are curious, but suspect people, right?
Sure.
We want validation. We want to figure things out for ourselves. And that was where the strategy came from. The strategy was, what happens when you give a New Yorker a sentence with a blank in it? They fill it in themselves. And I filled it in myself, even as a sophisticated healthcare exec. I believed probably half of the urban myths and legends only 5 years ago. And I knew better, but it wasn't about knowing better. It was about looking at the real evidence, looking at the real data. So the turnaround was based again on taking a bet on our community, knowing they'd step up, but on what happens if you fill in the blank and we reflect. Look inward, look at ourselves, and say, what if we're like everyone else? And we just need to get out there, engage the community. You said it before, communicate at a high level, but really grassroots in the community, help people understand the truths, not what they see on TV, but the truth and reality about having a legacy and giving somebody a future.
So let's talk about those myths. Let's knock some of those
Yeah,
out. What are
sure.
some of the
Some
biggest
of
myths that people need to understand and get right?
Yeah, so some of them are, if something happens to me and I'm taken to an emergency room and they know I'm an organ donor, they may not save my life. They may not try as hard. Reality is the hospital staff doesn't know you're an organ donor. In fact, way after, if you get referred to live on New York, which these 100 hospitals that we work with call live on New York and refer when somebody may or is going to pass away or has passed away. When that happens, it's the OPO, the Organ Procurement Organization, who actually looks on the registry to see if you're a donor. So that right there, nobody knows, nobody's thinking about it. The emergency room nurses and physicians are phenomenal, doing a great job trying to save your life. Everyone upstairs trying to save your life. Unfortunately, if they can't, there comes a point where they call the Organ Procurement Organization to give you or your family the opportunity to say yes or no to donation. That's a big one. Religions, not all religions support donation. They do. Again, a cultural thing, a conversational thing, something everybody should talk to their spiritual leader about. But most all, every religious group, and New York City's a melting pot of it, supports donation and has reasons for why donation is critical. Some of the others are that, oh, minorities don't donate. I mean, the first thing that I realized when I got to Levon was, I mean, real pundits, academics, experts came to me, some colleagues, friends, mentors, and they said, Lenny, great that you're here, but don't try too hard because you're going to fail. And
Wow,
oh, yeah.
that's reassuring.
I've lost a few along the way, but it's been worth it.
Right.
And these were authorities, these smart people. And the reason they said were things that were believed before. Number one, Lenny, there's no organ donors left in New York. We're maxed out. Everybody knows that. Number two, blacks don't donate. Minorities, and especially African American community, doesn't donate. Number three, the elderly patients, nobody wants their organs. Number four, New Yorkers are too sick. And because they're so sick, these organs are invaluable to transplant surgeons around the nation. 36 months after refusing to believe that and engaging with the community, Live On New York led the nation in geriatric organ donors that covered
Wow.
the elderly, led the nation number one in the placement of high KDPI kidneys, medically complex kidneys that covers they're too sick, led the nation, was number one in 2024 in honoring Black organ donors, and led the nation broadly in complex cases, right? High comorbidity, high acuity cases. So we were number one in each of those categories with a 70% increase in donation. So obviously there are and people want to be donors. So we debunked that through practice. The turnaround is hard. We call it a turnaround. It's an ongoing turnaround. We have a long way to still to
Sure.
go. But what it really took was not believing convention, not following what everybody believed, not saying the data is right. And we've been able to prove some things out over the last 2 years that are unique, but have saved over 5,000 people's lives.
Listen, I know you know how to build bridges. So, I build them in the community, but I have to assume that the relationships with the hospitals and people at the hospitals is really important. But I don't know, you tell me.
Coming from the hospitals, it was hard. It was really hard. And it was hard because I would go into the hospitals in year one, and former, colleagues and people close to me and CEOs would say, "Lenny, what are you doing? Why are you changing the laws?" I'd say, "Hey, calm down, calm down. That law existed since 1982. We just weren't following it." Right. So, and again, I was reflecting on myself as well, right? Being a part of that. The relationship is good and getting better. It was hard because in New York City, changing something in 3 years, especially in healthcare, is hard.
Yep.
Removing perceived control or issues around it is difficult. So I had a really difficult moment in that first 6 to 9 months where I said, "You know what? I could look at the research, and we know that it takes 7 to 10 years to change things from the research, especially within medicine and healthcare. But if we did that, tens of thousands of people would die. And that's unacceptable." So we went hard. We knew that the community would embrace. The hospitals have stepped up, the nurses, physicians, everyone has stepped up. I'll give you a great example. In 2022, there were 6,000 referrals to Live On New York from the 100 hospitals. At the end of 2025, that was 17,000. 17,000. So, from a cultural standpoint, we're getting there. This is the 5th year. But again, we couldn't wait because people around the country aren't waiting and they're dying. And people who
Yeah.
want to give that gift of life shouldn't be robbed from that legacy.
You talked a lot about, ethnic minorities and you talked about seniors. What do you think was the obstacle there that you've been progressively overcoming?
Yeah, great question. You know what it was? Treating everybody the same. So it was, we are, New York City is a melting pot, right? When you look at our diversity, it's beautiful. When you line up what we actually did, we actually showed up and it became representative of the community we serve. So if you laid a pie graph over each demographic of the census of the five boroughs, Nassau, Suffolk, Westchester, and the lower Hudson Valley, and then you looked at our donor matrix, it lands nicely right on top of that. And then this was the strange part. Downstream impact, which is nationally about 65% of the gifts of life go outside of New York. The downstream impact, I'll give you a data point for 2024 in regard to kidneys, let's say, greater than 62% of the organs that saved lives also went to underprivileged and underserved communities across the United States. So it would be great for me to tell you that we've done particular strategies with particular groups. That's true. We hired liaisons. We went out into the community. We paid a lot of attention to language and engaged with media in various languages. We did all of that, but we did it uniformly. We treated everybody with equitability. And it just so happens that because New York looks the way that it does, what happened was other groups weren't being served in the past. So by serving everyone, we served the entire makeup of New York, and then those demographics increased.
You're certainly thinking outside the box when it comes to all of the outreach, but one of the things that I really, like about what you're doing is honoring donors as heroes. And I know that people respond to that. I'm always a big believer being in the news business is telling the story is always the most effective way of using real circumstances and real people and real impact. So, how are you using those donors and
Yeah.
honoring them and communicating that?
Yeah, so first and foremost, the media has been a great partner and an advocate that they don't even know how significant they've been. And Schnepps has been amazing. And you can't imagine how many lives you guys have saved indirectly from the outreach and advocacy. We've had over 10 billion with a B unpaid media views
That's
about donor
awesome.
heroes in that first 4 years. And the reason was because when you think about it, young man Sanjay got shot outside of Dunkin' Donuts in Queens a couple months ago, killed. He's 13 years old. His mom gets to walk around that community for the rest of her life, and people say her son was murdered, her son was shot, her son was killed. But no, now he's across three front page stories in the newspaper saving five people's lives. And we realized that early that the donor had been forgotten, and you can't have a recipient without a donor. Whether it's transplantation, organ donation and transplantation, Hanukkah or Christmas or your birthday, you can't have a recipient without a donor. And the donor was forgotten. And we wanted to get back to the original intent from the late 70s and early 80s around what this was all about. And it was about honoring donors. And the media met us there in a big way. And look, I was in the hospitals, I was a communications officer, I was a marketing officer, I had a host of roles. I get that everybody wants to see the story about the person living, swinging the golf club who's still alive, whether it's a knee replacement or a transplant. I get it. And it was an experiment where we were like, you know what? We need to rewrite this and we need to get back to the origin of it, the original thesis. Nothing we did was innovative or creative. It was the original thesis around why this industry exists. And it worked. And the media met us not halfway. They took us all the way to the 99% mark. And it's been significant. It's created a movement, we think, even in other areas. And nationally, we hear from a lot of other leaders. And then in year three, we went into the ad campaign around the public service announcements because we saw that embrace from our community. But it rewrites the story. There's some alchemy there. There's a lot of darkness in New York and New York City around how people die. And we have this opportunity to not only give a legacy back to the family, but help them rewrite that script around the trauma and the darkness that becomes light. And that's what the media did with us.
Well, listen, I got to give you more credit than you're giving yourself because I think you at least added a new chapter to the book that was always out there. Because, you think about even the stuff you're doing on social, right? That wasn't around back then. So I think you
Yeah.
guys have been exceptionally creative in meeting people where they are for sure. What is like the future? Because it seems like you've done this amazing job, yet these numbers show you the demand is still really there. So, I mean, what is your kind of outlook in terms of being able to save more lives at the end of the day? And, can technology help with some of the organs that are needed or healthcare? I mean, what are other things that you think people just should know about? Because they might feel like, oh, you've done so great, you don't need more. I don't need to think about this.
No, we're still in the dark ages. We are way behind, and it pains me every day to know that so many more tens of thousands of lives could be saved. Number one, we are completely antiquated when it comes to technology, when it comes to natural language processing, machine learning, efficiencies, and there are major problems in the ecosystem, from the government standpoint, right? They are changing a lot within this industry, which is necessary. At the same time, there is a tremendous disruption while there's still a need to improve. So technology is one. Regulatory clarity is another. There's been huge shakeup. It's all over the media in regard to the OPO industry, transplant industry. So we need that. We need regulatory clarity. The future is restricted by practice standardization, technology, and regulatory clarity. And unfortunately, many, many lives are not being saved because of that gamification while this takes place. So we're going to advocate, we're going to step that up. We will work with our electeds and legislators to look at ways to write laws, make things happen, advocate, get the word out, and challenge convention even at a national level. Year one was that wild card experiment to operate and turn around. We did not want to go public with a lot of that because we didn't want to mess up other things for other areas of the country if we were wrong. Year two, we repeated it. Year three, we scaled it. Year four, we started to stabilize it. And we are now reorganizing that for scale. and we will continue and move more into the public to share what we've done and what the results are, what the mistakes were, what the lessons are, and how we iteratively change that model to build a platform.
What would you say to people that are thinking about potentially donating, what they can do, what they should do, or people that don't want to think about it?
Yeah,
What would you
great.
say to that? Like, do people wait until they're in the hospital and let their family
Yeah,
handle
so
it? I mean, what is really your thought and advice and guidance?
I'll answer for everyone, right? It's a human rights issue around my body, my right. It's a human rights issue around a yes or a no. Many people think that, and I'll speak just for LiveOn and our model and our philosophy, we're not here for a yes. We're here to ask the question, to make sure you had the opportunity to say yes or no. The yes or no is respected either way. So have the conversation with your family. Let them know what it's about. Let them know what you're about. Only less than 20% of those we approach in the hospital are registered donors in the areas we're responsible for. That's the inverse. That's the
So
complete
you're
opposite
saying
of
that
what we
only
want.
20% of the people that are already in the
Yeah,
hospital have registered?
correct. When we enter the hospitals and engage with families, the closer number is about only 15% of the people that were referred in, the patients, are registered, which means 80 to 85% of the time, our staff, unlike many other areas in the country, have to walk into the most difficult, darkest, toughest moment to ask that question. So we're really here to ask the question so that you could say yes or no. Either is fine. And then we advocate for that from that human rights side. That's the philosophy we've had. I think it's appreciated in New York. It's hard to get there, but it's more and more appreciated because that's the way it should be. And, we'll continue to educate and engage. We'll continue to debunk the data and misconceptions and urban legends. But those aren't just from the movies. Those come from some of the highest academics and some of the biggest data people in the United States and the world who made assumptions around what can and can't be done. We've proved a lot of that wrong. And we hope that people take that data and look at it and try to prove it out with us or scale it if it's applicable to them.
You know, I don't have the newest driver's license yet. I know I have to probably get those to be able to use it at airports, but you know, a lot of people think about the check mark you can put on your driver's license. I don't know if the new driver's license even have that. If people are considering or they
Yeah.
want to make a commitment to make an organ donation, what should they do?
Sure. Number one, make sure your family knows that that's what you want to do and friends. Number two, you could do it at the DMV, the New York State Donor Registry online. There is a national registry, or you could go to liveonny.org, and that will take you to the registries and you can register to be a donor there. Many other ways. You could even do it on your iPhone today. So there's many multi-modalities to do it. The most important thing we've seen is make sure everyone around you knows that you want to be a donor.
Well, Lenny, keep doing what you're doing, and you know, you're
Right.
saving lives every day, which is a wonderful career path to be able to be in, and leadership to be in, and you know, continued success.
Thank you. I'm blessed to be able to do it and privileged to. So thank you so much for this. Appreciate you
Always
guys.
great to see you and talk to you. Thanks so
You
much,
too.
honey.
All right. Be well.
Take care.
Take care.